Oh.
Yeah, the lights just went out in our room here at Ivy. The students at Ivy don't pay their bills.
Uh-oh.
All right, let's just, we can do this in the dark.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, here we go.
It mixes it up. Yeah, this is fun.
I was going to say, my wife says I look better in the dark. You can keep that in, almost.
31 Thoughts, the podcast, brought to you by GMC Sierra Trucks. This is a bonus episode of 31 Thoughts, the podcast. This is Elliot Friedman in conversation with, as I say in hushed tones to make it sound overly dramatic. This is Elliot's conversation with Aaron Cohen, president and CEO of the Arizona Coyotes. Friedge, set this one up for the gentle listener, won't you?
Well, first of all, there's a new analytics conference. It's at Ivy, which is at the Biz School at the University of Western Ontario. Well, Jeff's just upset because he's not allowed within like a radius of Western Ontario. Anybody who goes to Guelph is uniquely polluted and can't come anywhere near there. And so they do a conference, and they do it usually around the second weekend of January. And this year I participated in one about the future of hockey. Mm. And Dave Simpson, who is still the leading scorer in the history of the OHL's London Knights, yep, hosted it. And Christine Simpson was on that panel, their brother and sister. Dave Amber was on that panel. Harna Ryan Singh was on that panel. And I was on that panel. And I want to give a shout out to Harna Ryan, because he had to be in Vancouver on Saturday night to do Hockey Night in Canada in Punjabi. So he's in London. His flight from Toronto, which is a 2-hour drive from London to Vancouver, was at 11 p.m. that night. So he came. He landed in Vancouver in the middle of the night, and he broadcast the next night, but he wanted to be there. He thought it was important to be there, so he was there. Great on Harna Ryan.
Just as an aside, that's what that guy does.
Yes.
The origin story of Hockey Night in Canada Punjabi involves Harna Ryan Singh sleeping in a lot of airports.
Yes.
That is not a surprise to me.
Also, I wanted to mention that in front of the students, because I think it shows you, if you really want to be dedicated to be successful at anything, not just hockey broadcasting, but anything in life, you have to make those kinds of calls. I think it's very important. So this conference is really good. I love to go to Western. They had the post first night party at the Seeps.
Oh, man.
I couldn't stay. I have to work on Saturday. I can't do this. I've got to go home.
I killed so many brain cells at that point. Does this still look the same? Please say yes.
Oh, no, they remodeled it, but it's still great.
Okay.
But anyway, between the panel and the party, I sat down for about half an hour with Aaron Cohen, who's the president of the Arizona Coyotes. Amo wanted me to thank two people from the Ivy School of Business, Matteo Molinaro and Rachel Rafford, who helped us out and helped set us up and get a room. And I really wanted to talk to him about the business, because it looks like it's moving in the right direction, but it's been a punching bag for Canadian and, you know, really deep-rooted, even American hockey fans for a long time. And I don't want to exclude hockey fans around the world. The Coyotes have probably taken a lot of beatings from them too. But it looks like it's going in the right direction. They have the stability of an owner who really seems to be into it. But I just wanted to talk to him about what it's like to run the Arizona Coyotes and how it's going there right now. Karen, I figured we'd start with this. 22 carries, 74 yards. Are those your full college football stats?
Man.
Or was that just a partial season I found?
I think that was a partial season. I think that was my junior season. But, oh, man, you went deep. You did your homework.
So how many years did you play football?
4 years at Bowdoin. Yeah.
Okay, so I could only find those numbers. I looked, believe me, but I could only find those numbers. Because Bill Daly, who's the deputy commissioner of the NHL, I found his numbers, and I think he had something like in his career in the Ivy League, like I think he had like 500-600 yards of total offense, which is pretty good. Like, I'm not anybody who gains 500-600 yards in NCAA football is pretty talented. What was your total? Were you above that or below that?
So Bill Daly is the Mendoza line. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, for you.
I think I might have been a tiny bit below that. I'm sorry to say.
So you but, played 4 years?
Yeah, played 4 years. I actually came in. I was a strong safety. Mm-hmm. And then I played running back in high school as well. And then we had a injury slew, kind of like what we've gone through with some goaltenders from time to time. And I got switched back to running back and played a little of that. So not quite the Bill Daly level, though. So.
From what you've seen, hockey, how does the physical nature of it compare to playing football at the NCAA level?
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting. I mean, football... You're playing, you get this week of recovery. When I was playing, though, I mean, the practices were pretty hard.
Yeah.
I mean, now I think that's really changed gears, and now there's not a whole lot of contact during the week. But when you look at what the guys on our team are playing, I mean, 82 games, I mean, we're in a back-to-back tonight. You know, the pounding and the beating that these guys take, I think, is a lot more tough than football. A lot of my former teammates are going to come back at me after hearing this, but I got to give it to the NHL guys.
Because you only played one game a week.
Yeah, yeah.
So how does, and the name of the college is Bowdoin College.
Bowdoin,
okay. Yeah. So how do you end up, and how old are you?
I'm 35, almost 36.
Okay, so you're almost 36.
Yeah.
How did you end up from a four-year football running back, strong safety to start, running back to finish, in Northeast United States, to 35, almost 36-year-old president of an NHL team in Southwestern U.S.?
Well, I think, let me just say this. If you told me that when I was at Bowdoin, you said you're going to be doing this when you're 35, I would have said you're absolutely crazy. And I think you need to go check yourself into a mental institution. Look, I loved football growing up. You know, sports was part of my family and loved being part of going to a lot of, you know, basketball games, football games, hockey games growing up in Minnesota. And I wanted to stay involved in sports and particularly football when I was done playing in college. I was actually looking at becoming a coach. Said that wasn't a good route to take. I think it took about one practice to realize there wasn't going to be a career for Aaron Cohen on Sundays. Me and Bill Daly, we had to go find something else to do. So,
by the way, have you guys ever talked about that?
We have. We've talked about playing football in the Northeast, playing running back, and then ending up with a bunch of hockey guys here. So me and Bill have that camaraderie and get to share that a little bit. And we're also both lawyers, so you know, we have some more stuff in common.
Yeah, that's the bad part of your existence.
That is the bad part. But when I was graduating, I said, look, I want to find a way to stay involved in sports, talk to a bunch of mentors of mine. And I thought that going to law school and getting that law degree opened up the most doors to get involved in a front office in some capacity. So I was looking at schools in Northeast and grew up in Minnesota, so the Midwest. Had never been to Arizona. And my late father and I went down to Phoenix for a bowl game, for the Minnesota Gophers bowl game. And first time going to Phoenix, and it's 75 degrees. When I left Minnesota, it was negative 10. I know there's a lot of Canadians. I'm not good. I can't translate this to Celsius, so I'm just going to speak in Fahrenheit.
We know warm and cold.
There we go. You guys are smarter than us, too. So I go down to Phoenix. It's a great weather, great place, a lot of good excitement. This is in about 2006. And Arizona State was down there, and they have a good law school program. And that hadn't been on my radar, but I said, well, it should be on my radar. So I started talking to the dean and asking about what programs they had in sports. Now they have a very good sports law program. They didn't at the time. But what the dean told me is, she said, look, we have a contact with the general counsel of the Minnesota Vikings, a guy named Kevin Warren, who's now the Big Ten commissioner, who rose from, he was general counsel, then chief operating officer, now Big Ten. But she said, I'm sure that I could, you know, one of those things to recruit somebody. She's, oh, you know, I'll put in a good word for you, one of those things. So I get down there. I remembered what she said. Day one of orientation, I'm banging on her door with my resume. And I said, look, you know, I came like you wanted me to. Yeah, I'd love to get an opportunity to work for the Vikings. So I got an internship with Kevin. I was working there for the Vikings throughout law school and after law school. And one of the things Kevin told me was, look, if you want to have a long career in sports, learn how to be –
a good attorney. You know, hopefully you can become a general counsel, and then who knows. So I started up with a big law firm in Phoenix, the largest law firm in Phoenix, called Snell and Wilmer. And I was doing sports-related work where I could. I was representing the Super Bowl host committee. I actually represented a group of Canadian investors who bought the team from the NHL back in 2013. And then a couple of years later, kind of stayed in contact with them. They asked me to come over and be the general counsel. And the day I became general counsel, it was about a week after the city of Glendale canceled the long-term lease. So from day one, we've had some fun experiences to deal with. And, you know, just always, you know, since I've been with the Coyotes, I think John started about 2 or 3 weeks before I did as the assistant GM. And both him and I have really, you know, developed a great friendship and worked together. And, you know, I've had some challenges, but those challenges have really created a lot of opportunities for us, and tried to do the right thing and put staff around us that, you know, really believes in, you know, how we're trying to do things. And, you know, I think we're at a pretty good spot now, and there's a lot more to go.
Well, I want to talk about some of those challenges because, you know, we're a Canadian-based podcast. And as you know, the Coyotes in Canada have been a punching bag for a long time. You guys have taken a real beating from the fans in Canada. Everything from why are you still there to I can't believe you're still there to it's just not an acceptable NHL franchise.
Hockey. Yeah, I think I got in some Twitter wars with our friends up here.
I wouldn't. To me, winning, I don't care. To me, if you win, it's beautiful. Like, I don't care about the way it looks. The results matter. But Canadian hockey fans have looked down on that team for a long time. Like, what were the biggest challenges you faced? Tell me, like, internally, what did you guys have to go through that made you say, I cannot believe what I'm seeing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, especially having that experience with the Vikings and seeing kind of a model franchise and where they're at. And we spend a lot of times going around to not just NHL teams, but other teams in sports. And you know, you see new arenas and practice facilities and a lot of stability. And you look and you go, whoa, this, you know, we haven't achieved all of that yet, or, you know, and now we're in a good position where we're moving forward. But, you know, you go back a couple of years and you go, oh my God, you know, look at this, and you get kind of envious of some of these things. You know, for us, there's been a lot of those challenges. We've had existential challenges, people questioning, does hockey work in Arizona? Does it work in this location? Does it work with this team? You know, I think one thing that we've always tried to do is just drown out the negativity and just take one day at a time and get better today than we were the day before in everything, right? I mean, hockey performance, our business, or let's go and recruit one more fan than we had previously. And I think what we've started to see over the course of being very deliberate and intentional with what we're trying to do, which is going out and winning hockey games and building a successful team, building fans and reaching new fans throughout Arizona, really giving back to the community, making ourselves a part of the community, we're starting to see some good results and momentum. And we got a long way to go. We're not close to there yet. A lot of obstacles still to achieve, but you know, it's that steady growth that I don't think has really existed with this team. And I'm sure that there's still, you know, some people, you know, some Canadian hockey fans or people around the globe that, you know, don't know that Arizona has a hockey team. People call us the Phoenix Coyotes from time to time. But, you know, that's fine. We'll just keep on focusing on what we're going to do and, you know, build new fans day by day and I mean, hopefully continue to grow this thing.
Okay, so I want to ask you a bit more about that. When did you guys sit down and say, this is our long-term plan? When did you do it?
Yeah, I think it was shortly after I took over as CEO.
Which would have been when?
That was a year and a half ago.
Okay. And who's in the room? Like when you're sitting down and saying, this is our plan, who's there?
John and I. Really talking about, you know, what are our core pillars? What are we trying to achieve? You know, we're really thinking about, you know, how do we message this, not just internally, but also externally? How are we selling this to the community? You know, we spend a lot of time. John, by the way, is one of the most brilliant people I've ever met in my life. And, you know, not just on the hockey side of things, but he's got such a great business mind. And, you know, he's a guy that I've bounced a lot of ideas. I mean, we talk on a daily basis about all sorts of things. And, you know, we like to look at different models for success out there. One of the best models that I've seen in sports, not just in hockey, but throughout sports, is Tampa Bay Lightning and what they've achieved. And, you know, non-traditional markets have had a lot of turbulent issues, you know, instability at ownership, things like that. And what they did, they just committed to a process, committed to giving back to the community, committed to making people feel a part of that team. And we said, we have to start doing that too. We really need to, you know, go out and recruit new fans. For us in Phoenix, it's not like we have, you know, it's not like we've had a long time of being successful and then we have some down years and we have all these fans that are sitting on the sideline not participating. They're just waiting to participate until we get good and then they're jumping in. We don't have enough fans. So we need to go out and we need to retain and recruit new fans. And that takes a lot of hard work. I mean, certainly it's the cost of acquiring those new fans, is it doesn't happen overnight. It takes people coming out to the arena. It takes us giving back to their communities. It takes us putting our branding everywhere. It takes us really being authentic throughout the entire Arizona landscape. And we've been very consistent with that. And, you know, almost every interview we do, we try to tie in those things. And, you know, it's been fun to see the process and the progress that we've made. But there's a lot more work to go.
Was there ever a time that you looked at yourself and said, honestly, I don't think this is going to work?
It's an interesting question. I mean, I think we've been very resolute in knowing what we can achieve. You know, the question is timing, right? I mean, obviously we want results overnight. You know, you're always going to have your ups and downs, especially over the course of an NHL season. You know, we think back, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, bringing a new coach and Coach Tockett, and we're kind of doing this new stuff, and we start, what was it, 0-10 and really get off to a rocky start. And, you know, I think, you know, you hear people in the communities and what's going on, or this is typical Coyotes, all this other stuff. But, you know, I think just keeping resolute and keeping focus on what we're trying to achieve, you know, I think that's a, you know, a testament to, you know, the people we have working with us. I don't think that a lot of people have wavered in that belief that we can ultimately get to where we want to go.
So when was there a time when, I'll go the reverse question, when you said, you know what, this was big for us, like we're turning the corner, we got something here?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say it really started last March. If you recall, we made some t-shirts scratching and clawing, and you know, we didn't make the playoffs, fell just short. But I think for the first time you felt this buzz circulating around this team in the Phoenix community that, you know, I'd never experienced since I'd been, not just with the team, but in Phoenix. You know, it was this kind of underdog mentality of, you know, we've got a lot of injuries and people don't believe in us, and yet we're finding a way to rally. And you know, at that point we said, you know, there's a fan base here. There really is. I mean, we're starting to get that. And, you know, we saw some good momentum over the summer. And then this year, it's been really positive. I mean, our ratings are way up compared to last year. We've already sold out as many games as we did all of last season. We're expecting that to probably double. So we're really starting to see that pay off. But, you know, I was actually just in Tampa yesterday and spending time talking to some of the Lightning folks and talking about their evolution and how they got to where they're at. And it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, it's a long process. And, you know, I think what we're focused on is always going up. For too long, our franchise was kind of doing the roller coaster thing and going down, going up a little bit, going back down. For us, we just need to constantly be growing, constantly be getting better.
You have a new owner now. And first of all, I know there's a lot of optimism about him, that he's going to be a difference maker, that you're not going to have to worry about your ownership situation for a long time. Do you believe that to be true?
I absolutely believe that. I think he brings stability. And, you know, it's one thing to have stability. I mean, that certainly helps. But it's also that deep competitiveness and that desire to win, to really want to be the best. We've really shifted gears around here. Think so long, you know, whether it's you know, around the country with some of the national press or even some of the local stuff, you talk about the Coyotes surviving, right? We're starting to shift gears, and now you're talking about the Coyotes thriving. You know, you see him supporting the moves that we're making with Phil Kessel, bringing in Taylor Hall, really blockbuster trades that are getting attention across the entire league. And you only get that when you have somebody that says, look, I want to take some risk. I recognize that this might be more of a, you know, a cost right now, but I'm doing this because I want to win and I want to build something. And we've never really had that at the top with this team. And that really hurts, because you have to deficit spend. You have to make some of those investments that aren't going to pay off necessarily tomorrow. You know, but you look and you say, okay, where's the world going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, because some of these investments?
the stories we all have gotten about Arizona, and I'm trying to get in the habit of saying Arizona Coyotes so you don't laugh at me for calling them Phoenix, is that they're a big-time money loser. Where is this team financially, and can they be profitable?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you know, I'll say this. I mean, I can't get into exact numbers, but, you know, what I'll tell you, I mean, I don't think it's a secret that we're losing money. Do I think we can be profitable and be successful? Absolutely. Absolutely. And you look at, you know, there's so many exciting new things that are happening both at the local level, but also at the national level and the entire league level. You have new media deals coming up. You look what that's done for the NBA. You look at new revenue opportunities and sponsorship. You know, you look at the gaming landscape. You look at fans' ability to connect with this game like never before when you're talking about 5G and you're talking about, you know, new arenas and areas where they can really engage with our game. So there's so many different exciting opportunities coming up. So I'm very bullish on the NHL and everything that it's going to do for us. I'm also bullish on winning. I'm bullish on us really galvanizing our entire Arizona community and really when you start doing all these things, I think all the things that we're doing off the ice, we're not going to be successful if we're not winning. I mean, winning is a necessary, but it's not as sufficient to be in long-term successful. You have to do those other things, too, to amplify what we're doing on the ice. And when all those things come together, that's where I think you really have a successful organization.
You know, there's some things that you guys have done with your team that I think have brought you credibility. Nicklas Hjalmarsson.
Yeah.
And then he re-signs.
Yeah.
Phil Kessel goes there. Taylor Hall goes there.
Yeah.
Rick Tocchet, I thought, was a big one.
Yeah.
That Rick Tocchet was a hot assistant coach after Pittsburgh won cups.
Yeah.
And Arizona gets him to go there. And you talk about winning. I agree, winning is contagious. But I thought what was even more important for a time was that you had guys who were willing to come there who didn't have to.
Yeah.
And to me, that said a lot about your potential.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, first off, you think about Coach Tocchet and yeah, I think back to that summer, you know, when that all was happening and John did a great job of really interviewing a bunch of coaches and you know, talking to different folks and finding a good fit. And then he brought Coach Tocchet to myself and our current owner at the time, Andy Baraway, and you know, the four of us were all sitting down at a restaurant in New York. And the thing that just stood out to me with Coach Tocchet, it was just his competitiveness and his need to win. You know, I mean, it's just all he wanted to talk about was ways to get an edge and ways to improve our team. And you could just tell that he saw this challenge here, not as a negative, but as a great opportunity to really turn things. And, you know, from that dinner, we knew that we had our guy.
Give me an example of something he demanded or said, if you want me, you have to do this, where you guys said, okay, we're going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the way he talked about doing things first class, he talked about his experiences at Pittsburgh and he knows what it's like to be a champion and, you know, just making this a first class environment for our players. You know, that's the stuff that's going to recruit players. That's going to make players feel like it's a part of their family. And, you know, to credit John and his staff, I mean, that's been such an important piece of, you know, our recruiting tool and also just building this team, making people feel like this is a family. And, you know, we see that all the time. I mean, whether it's, you know, different activities for the families, the players' families to get involved with, you know, taking care of them or, you know, sending the wives packages, you know, gift packages when the players are on a long road trip. I mean, it's just that family mentality of people saying, look, this isn't transactional. This isn't just, hey, I'm showing up for a job and these guys are paying me. We're building something. This is a true culture here. So, you know, that hasn't always been here. And that doesn't just happen. It happens with really intentional thought behind it. And, you know, I saw that with Talk and I saw that with what John's done.
You talk about the family environment and trying to make it camaraderie and being available in the community. A couple of weeks ago, I did a story on Eric Comrie, who just did an Odyssey and Arizona was part of it. And his girlfriend of 6 years, Haley Hull, made the trip with him. And she said about Arizona, she was pleasantly surprised by how the wives and girlfriends were together a lot and they were expected and asked and wanted to do things in the community. And that really impressed her as they were going around the league.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, just really, you know, I think we've set up different community engagement things for the wives to do and the girlfriends. I remember we did some stuff around Thanksgiving. My wife was there with John's wife and then a bunch of the players' wives, and they love that. They love feeling a part of something and getting out and helping the community. And, you know, it's great because it builds that internal camaraderie, you know, for our team, but then externally it's showing the community, and it's important to really give back. You know, that's the beauty of sports. I mean, one of the things early on when I became CEO, I sat down with Jerry Colangelo, who's like the godfather of Phoenix sports, and talking to him, and something that really stood with me is talking about the community and what he built up with the Suns. And he said, it's up to you to go out and earn the community's respect. The community owes you nothing. And I love that. And when you really think about it, you know, you talk about ownership and you know, assets and all this stuff. And yes, sports teams are businesses and big businesses and, you know, Forbes articles and all this other stuff. But at the end of the day, they're community assets. They're community assets for the people of that community. And the people of that community are really the true stakeholders. The owners, leadership, it's more of a trustee thing.
I heard a funny story about you. And I always make a joke that pro sports ages people who've got to be in the front line. I heard, so you said you're about to turn 36.
Yeah.
You have a daughter who's 2?
A son who's 3 and another son who's 1.
Okay, so apparently one of your children was in daycare.
Yeah.
And you went to go pick them up and the person said, oh, the grandfather is here to pick up the
kid. Oh my
God. Is that true?
Did Chaika tell you that story?
I cannot reveal my sources.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. We got some gray hairs here, but we gotta work on that. But yeah, I mean,
I will tell you this: there is a coach in the league right now who I refer to as like Obama. Because remember when he took over as president, he looked young, and when he finished, like that job, it ages you.
Yeah,
and I think coaching, being a president, same deal.
Coyote CEO, that's like a dog years thing, you know. That's like some. No, that's about right. Then I am a grandfather. I'm going on about 65. Yeah, no, it's. I do think Chaika told you that story.
I'm not giving up my
sources. I know you're not going to reveal your sources, but there's a lot of hard work. I love the people that we have with our team. You know, we've been through everything with the Coyotes, but what I tell our staff all the time is, you know, there's certain teams, certain organizations out there, certain businesses outside of sports where, you know, from a leadership perspective, it's just don't screw it up, right? Just kind of be very conservative, you know, just run out the clock and keep things consistent. For us, we got to build something. I mean, if we just stay where we're at, if we're not moving forward, we're not going to make it. So we have to every single day say, how are we going to make our team better? How are we going to, you know, win more games? How are we going to engage with the community? How are we going to do more to make this whole thing better? And that's the mentality that I think everybody in our organization brings, and that's fun. So it might get you some gray hairs, but, you know, I think it's all worth it.
I got one more question about the Coyotes. I want to ask you some league stuff. I don't know the demographics of your situation very well, but I've heard people say that you have to have the arena in Scottsdale to make it work, or downtown Phoenix.
Yeah.
Is a new arena still a goal?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. I mean, a vast majority of our fan base is in that East Valley. When we look at heat maps of, you know, not just where are people coming to for our current games, but also where are people watching other NHL games, where are people going to the NHL team shop, where are people going on the NHL or our Coyotes websites, it's all Southeast Valley or other parts of the East Valley. You know, there's some areas of the Southeast Valley, it's an hour and a half, 2 hour drive on a weeknight to come to a game. That's a challenge. That's a real challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, what I'll tell you is, you know, I think historically there was so much focus on, hey, we got to get to this new arena. This is a disaster until we get to that new arena. And would it help to be closer to our fan base? I think anybody would say yes. Is that sufficient to making us successful? I would say no. I would say that, you know, if you have a team that's going 0-82 and you're not engaging your fans and you're not giving back to the community, you're not going to be successful no matter where you are. So we have to be focused on building a great organization. You know, are we looking at all opportunities and different ways for us to be successful in Arizona long term? Absolutely. Yeah. But it's not the only thing that we're doing to try to move this team forward.
Okay. I want to ask you about the league. You talked about you like some of the things that are coming, the new rights deals. I'm really into gambling. I have become very interested in gambling beyond just putting money down.
Yeah.
Where do you think gambling's going in hockey?
You know, I think it's a real opportunity to create more engagement among fans. I credit the commissioner and the entire NHL for being very progressive where things currently stand. I mean, we were the first team in Vegas, obviously, and the league's position on gambling right now is that they're supportive of sports gambling. But when you look at the success of the NFL over the years, one of the things that I think really helped is the ubiquitous nature of people's involvement with the NFL. You know, my wife knows nothing about football, but she gets into an office, you know, fantasy pool, and now she's talking to me about receivers four deep on the Dolphins, you know, and stuff like that. And that type of engagement, I think, just helps. It helps, you know, broaden the fan base. So if there are opportunities through gaming, through sports gambling, to create greater engagement and get more fans associated with hockey, I think that's a really good thing for the league.
What do you think is the biggest business change we're going to see in the NHL over the next 5 years?
I think there's going to be some really interesting things with sports gambling and access to data through puck and player tracking. I think that we haven't even scratched the surface of what we're going to see with that. I think the implementation in terms of television broadcasts and, you know, not just showing, you know, how fast is the guy skating and things like that, but really enhancing the game and providing different angles and different ways of watching and interacting with the game, I think that's going to be really special, and that's going to help enhance ratings and overall just help how people connect and interact with hockey.
I spoke to someone once who worked in Arizona when the league ran the team.
Yeah.
And they would get deals done with players and they would say, boy, that's a pretty good deal. Now you got to cut it $20,000 per year.
Yeah.
How much do you speak to either the commissioner or the deputy commissioner? Because he said they used to talk every day.
Yeah.
How much do they contact you about what's going on in Arizona?
Yeah, you know, pretty regularly. Certainly less so than, you know, if the commissioner owned the team. You know, I would say that, you know, over the course, we had an ownership transaction over the summer, you know, over, you know, the course of, you know, a while before that, as we were evaluating different things, talking very regularly and keeping everybody apprised of what was going on. But the commissioner and the deputy commissioner have been incredibly supportive of hockey in Arizona. And, you know, I think it's important. I think it's important for the people of Arizona to see that commitment and that dedication from the league level. And they've certainly given that. And you know, they had their ownership stint, I guess, for quite a while down there. But, you know, we're thankful that, you know, they've continued to support this team. Look, I don't have a week that goes by where I don't walk around the community and somebody says to me, look, I'm a huge hockey fan. I love it. You know, and we got to work on getting people out to the arena across town, but it's a great hockey market. People want to see a winner. I mean, we have the second longest drought of not making the playoffs in the NHL. So, you know, you say, hey, what can happen when, you know, we start to generate some momentum? You know, it was really exciting to see Carolina last year and what they were able to accomplish and the momentum that they created. So, you know, hopefully we keep on playing good hockey and you know, we'll start to create that tidal wave of success.
Do you ever get a call from Bill or Gary where it starts with Aaron? Seriously, what the hell was that?
You know, that's happened a couple times.
What happened? Like, tell me what did they not like?
You know, I mean, just you know, sometimes if there's some things, you know, I'm just trying to think now specifically. Yeah, you know, sometimes if we do things, you know, that we say things through our organization publicly that maybe, you know, they don't love, whether it be on the schedule or, you know, whatnot. But, you know, we have a great relationship with them, and you know, they've been very supportive, and you know, we're very involved during the ownership process, and you know, ultimately wanted to help us get this to the right spot.
I'm not giving up on this. What's the angriest they've ever been at you?
I don't know if I could get into that. That's no.
But it's happened.
No, I mean we've got to look. All three of us are lawyers, and you know, are used to yelling and screaming at people. So you know, they might yell and scream at me from time to time.
Here's the last one I wanted to ask you is, you have two people who work on your broadcast. I think your broadcasts are very good, but you have Paul Bissonnette and you have Tyson Nash.
Yeah.
And what I see there is two very creative guys.
Yeah.
Like the pillow talk on your Twitter feed.
Yeah.
It's really funny. We all know the empire that Bissonnette is creating.
Yeah.
I watched a game once where Tyson Nash goes for ballet lessons and a feature. And I look at this and like, you know, 20 years ago, I would have said, this is BS. Like, yeah. I don't like this. But now as I'm older, I understand differing opinions. I recognize what you guys are trying to do.
Yeah.
How important are those two guys in what you are trying to build?
They're instrumental. I mean, they're so important in terms of expanding our brand and really showing our entire community who we are. You know, we're pretty irreverent. And you know, our whole focus is, look, with all due respect to you and other Canadian fans out there,
you can tell us what you want. We can take it.
We're not concerned with trying to win over the Canadian fan. We're concerned with trying to build and get more people in Arizona excited about this team. So, you know, some things that we might do that might seem blasphemous to other people, you know, we're going to look and say, great, we just got 10 more people to support our team. And we've really been focused on inclusivity and widening the base of hockey fans. I mean, one of the challenges in Arizona is, and everybody's focused on this, as we are, getting more people playing hockey, getting participation at the youth level. You know, the challenge that we have is it's a desert, and there's not a lot of outdoor ponds and rinks, and there's a limited number of rinks, and hockey's very expensive. I think that's happening in Canada as well.
It's a big debate here.
But, you know, it's something that we're working on. But, you know, if our sole route to getting somebody to be a fan of the Coyotes is getting people to play hockey, that's a challenge. That's an uphill battle, because that means we should really be building a heck of a lot more rinks. We have to look for new ways to get people. And if that's, hey, I don't know anything about hockey, but I saw this guy Tyson Nash take ballet lessons, so now this is intriguing to me. Or, you know, I saw a pillow talk with Alice Cooper sitting in the middle of Biz and Tyson, and this is cool, so now I'm going to follow the team. That's great. So that's our whole goal. That's our focus. And, you know, we're so fortunate to have two guys that have that great personality. And, you know, some of the stuff they do is, like, outrageous.
Yeah.
You know, it's
have
like,
you ever had to say, like, guy, like, I was the same question I asked you about Gary and Bill, like, God, you can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, so I'll give you one. Okay. For our friends here, we'll give you one good story. So, and Biz knows about this. He knows what he did. He goes and talks to our guy, Craig Morgan.
Craig covers a team for The Athletic.
When we got this relationship going, I said, Biz, I said, I love you. I love that you're pushing the envelope. That's good. But, you know, there's certain things we just got to stay away from, okay? Don't talk about marijuana. Don't talk about concussions, you know, just, you know, some other irreverent stuff. Just, you know, we can talk about it. But those things, you know, don't talk about that stuff. Nods, says, okay, okay. A little while goes by. I read this article from Craig Morgan, and he talks about both in the story, you know, something to the effect of, oh, the NHL could solve its concussion problem by allowing marijuana use. And so I said, Biz, you're killing me. I had to pull him in, and, you know, we had to have a little chat about that. But, you know, that's what you get with him. But, you know, for every time that he maybe goes over the line, there's a lot of times that he doesn't. He goes under the line and really does a great job. Yeah. And, you know, it's well worth the gray hairs that he gives me, because, you know, he's a heck of a funny guy.
You got anything else you want to say? I've asked you a lot. You got anything else you want to say?
No, I mean, this is an honor. I feel very privileged here to be sitting here in Canada. And, you know, it's quite the journey coming from Detroit and crossing the border. And, no, this is fun. This is a lot of fun. We should do it again.
Thanks very much, Aaron. We really appreciate you being here.
Thank you.